Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, we are continuing our series on the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. And we're talking about, in particular, the sovereignty of God. And so let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's go to our foundation text concerning the sovereignty of God, verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Is that what I said? Okay. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about in his own time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of those who reign as kings, the Lord of those who rule as lords, he alone possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, which no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. God is the only one who has power and is the absolute ruler. Amen.
Amen.
So we've went over several scriptures concerning the sovereignty of God. We're just still reviewing Isaiah 46, 9. I remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I think that's a tremendous statement. This is God himself speaking about all other gods. There is no other God but me. Why? Because I can declare the end from the beginning. No other God can do that. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, I can do that because I made that bird. The man of my counsel from a far country, I can do that because I made the man and the country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. God, who is your father, just has spoken to you that he cannot fail.
Amen.
Be encouraged. Don't let the craziness of this world so cloud your mind that we forget who this God is, who's our Father.
Amen.
And this great God of the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, has the nerve, the unmitigated gall, to call us his children and to identify with us as being our Father.
Amen.
That is amazing. I thank God that as I grow more in Christ Jesus and become closer to our Father, that when you sing songs like the ones we sing today, you can't hardly contain yourself. It's just too much. We talk about, you know, the Jesus' blood being shed for us, he dying in our place, Man, those songs are just too much. It just brings so much joy. Deep gratitude. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just quick review, still reviewing. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. God said that I didn't. And he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Nobody can do that to God. Remember that before him, presidents, popes, kings, emperors, and even the devil himself, as one commentator says, are less than grasshoppers. Presidents, popes, kings, emperors. And in our day, movie stars, which we've elevated to a sort of deity. Sports personalities. We've elevated these clowns, some of them, to straight up deified status. People will trample other people to death trying to get to that person. And he says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Well, amongst the inhabitants of the earth are kings, presidents, popes, emperors, movie stars, sports personalities. All of them are accounted as nothing. The commentator says, less than grasshoppers. Not even grasshoppers. Because a grasshopper is something. He says, are accounted as nothing. Well, what does that mean? It talks about the almightiness of God. That's what that is about. How dare he refer to me as nothing? How dare he not? I made you. Not only did I make you, I raised you.
Amen.
I didn't have to raise you. You could have been a nothing on your way to hell. Now you're nothing on your way to spend eternity with me. Amen. I don't like being called nothing. Well, you got to get at God on that, man. Don't be arguing with me. I didn't write. I'm reading from the book. Don't argue to me. And if you have a problem with that, then there's pride in that attitude. You've just been exposed. Because I don't mind the God of the universe calling me nothing. As long as this nothing can stay in his presence, I'm good with being nothing. Amen, Miss Sir? I'm good with that. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. What's the argument here? What's the problem? Romans 8:28 should be where we stopped many moons ago. So let's go to Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Woo! It's too much. He been so good. Romans 8:28. And I particularly want to encourage the Stark family this morning with this verse. And we know that for those who love the Lord, which they do, all things, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, work together, what? For good. Yes. Now, no matter how horrible a situation is, at the moment that it happens, once you can get through that, you look back on this, say, man, some good coming out of this. I don't know how, I don't know when. But some good is coming out of it. Amen. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Miss Milling will tell you. This is the most gangsterized Godfather statement in all the history of gangsters. Because how can a God tell you that everything will work together for good unless he has the power to bring it to pass?
Amen.
That's a bad mama jam. That's straight up gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, how? Don't worry about it. I got you.
Amen.
I got you, cuz. I got you. That's what God is saying to you. I got you. I got you, David. You're like, I got you. I got you. What the devil tries to get into our minds is we ain't got. In other words, God ain't got us. But he's saying, I got you. Don't believe that lie. Because even though God may appear in our minds to be far away, he's right there. Not only next to you, he's in you. Even though he may appear to be far away. That's a lie that Satan will tell you that God is far away. And he's not far away. He never is far away. You always travel with the gang of three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are ever present with you and you with them. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Most High. And that God who is in you has the power and the sovereign authority to bring everything that happens in your life and work it for good. That's a powerful God. That's why I tell you, cry your tears. You better cry. Why? Why hold it in? God made you to cry. Cry your tears. Break down and cry. Man, when the situation with mama and man, it hurt me so bad, but you know, when the reality kind of set in, man, we was taking a break, we was descending in the elevator, and my baby just broke down. I mean, she barely made it across the threshold out of the elevator. Just broke down. That's okay. Job collapsed. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. Fell to the ground. It's okay to grieve. I'm not saying that with such fervor, like I don't know what church you come out of, some of you. But there are some churches who maybe not directly, explicitly say it, but there's some suggestion there that if you do break down and so forth, that's a sign of weakness, a lack of faith. That's garbage. Job was one of the most faith-filled men in all of the Bible. But he lost all 10 children. In the same day. We're going to cry with losing one. If one is even sick, we're going to be shook up. And that's okay, because you love your children. But you lost all 10 in one day. Let's see you not collapse. But he worshiped, when he got to that ground, he worshiped the Lord. He said, oh, the Lord gave me the 10 children. The Lord gave me these riches. He decided to take him away. Then he said, blessed be the name, the person, the majesty, the glory, the honor. All that God is, blessed be that. I honor you in the midst of my most horrific time of my life. But God already knew Job was going to react that way. That's why he told the devil, you want to bet? He'll never curse me in my face. That's my God right there. That's my dude. And when I put my faith and raise somebody up from the dead, they're alive forevermore. Don't have your way with them. I'm going to show you what a real faith-filled child of God going to do in the middle of their most horrific time. And God's commentary at the end of that chapter 1 says, yet in all this Job did not sin. Father God, help us, your children, to really take hold of this verse that you have complete sovereign authority. No matter how terrible things are and how it's looking right now, you are yet working it for good because you did say in your word that you work all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. There, slow down, Gregory T. There are two identity markers in that verse. Let's look at the verse. I'm going to show where you are in that verse twice. These are phrases that identify you. Verse 28 again. And we know for those who love God, that's talking about you. The second one, for those who are in the literal Greek, the called, that's talking about you. You see that? Those who love God in the A portion. And then for those who are in the literal Greek, the called, you are the called and you are the ones who love God. Well, for you, all things work together for good. Well, why are you pointing that out? I want you to know.
Hold on.
I want you to know that this is a specific promise, specifically for God's children. Mm-hmm. This is not for everybody. It's not for your cousin, Nook Nook, and Tay Tay, and Bubba, and Poop, and them. This is for those who love God. Now what you do, you pray for Tay Tay, Nook Nook, Ray Ray, Tay Tay, Boo Boo, and pray for all of them so that they come in and get some of this too. But specifically, this is a promise for you, for me, for us. And he has two markers in there to identify. You love the Lord and you are the call. It's not for everybody. So when they say these things at funerals, just blankly say them, that's not for this is the Father God specifically confirming a promise and encouraging, edifying, and uplifting his children. I know it's terrible right now, but I'm working it out for good. Amen. And one of the greatest examples of this verse is Miss Monica Mina that I have seen just come from where she came from. I've never seen anything like it because I wasn't around when Glenda Jean's son was killed. I can see the result of it. I wasn't around that day and all that time. Chris was, but I wasn't. But I see the result of it. Hers up around the whole time. And my Lord and my God, only God can do what was done in her life. Only God can do. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Only God can do that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel like running. We serve a mighty God. I'm trying to get you all to understand that. We need to stop compromising his glory for our comfort. So we don't look weird and stand out. I remember Sister Landon in her prayer saying, help us to be more peculiar. Be weird. Not weird weird. Try to qualify that, Miss Cheryl. He said, be weird. Don't go there with pink curlies and there's, ooh, I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm not talking about that. You feel me?
Yes,
stand on his word.
Amen.
When it's uncomfortable. When I gave the charge to Pastor DeJuan last Saturday, the charge was in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And in there it says, preach the word. In season, out of season. When it's convenient, when it's available, when it's right, when it's not a convenience, when it's not available, when it's not right, be ready to stand on that word. And in doing so, you may look peculiar. You're going to look different where you are supposed to. We are lights in a dark place. We serve a God who can work all things together for good. All that is review. Let's start now. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's continue. We're still talking about the sovereignty of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. We got it? All right. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Wow. Read it again. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We're going to exegete that just a touch. He works all things. That means good, bad, ugly. Chaotic, that which is in order. He works it all to the counsel of his will. So what may appear to be chaos and disorder and disunity and harrowing and horrific is right in line with the plan of God. Now, to our finite minds, that's just, it's mind-blowing. You go in, right? You can't, it's hard. I mean, you see, John, it just, that just, you know, you just, you know, you hear these, you walk in on my dad, or you see mama, all of us wonder how in the world, Job's 10 children are gone. 10. That's where faith comes in. Lord, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I trust you. I just trust you. You said that you're working all things according to the counsel of your will. I'm just gonna believe it. I don't have to understand it. I keep telling you that. You don't understand how telephone works, at least I know. I don't know how somebody can be 400 miles away and talk to me crystal clear through some little earpiece, and they're not there. How it travels in the air, I don't get it. They're playing a game over in London, football game today. I'm going to be able to go to my house on Julius Boulevard in Westland and see that game played over 2,000 miles, three, whatever miles away. It just, I don't understand it. But do we still use it?
Yes.
Same thing with God. We don't understand it. Still trust him. And you can trust God more than the TV.
Yes.
Hello, am I in the right place? You can trust TV, you can trust God. If God said I work according to the counsel of my will, then he's working it. So why are you crying and snotting and slobbering? You can say, yep, Lord, you're working it. And I don't have to understand it. I just got to believe you and trust you. And I know you're going to bring me out. You will bring me out. It may take a day, week, a month, a year, two, but I'm going to be brought out. But you're a God that delivers. You're a God that heals. You're a God that sets free. And I'm trusting you today. Let's look at this verse. The word counsel is the word boule, B-O-U-L-E. Boule. O-U-L-E. And it means what's couched in that is the idea of intelligence and deliberation. Intelligence, G-E-N-C, and deliberation, L-I-B-E-R-A. That's what boule has couched in it. Intelligence and deliberation. I'm going to tell you why that's important in a moment. The word will is that which is purposed, intended, or willed. That which is purposed, intended, or willed. For an example, look back at verse 5. Ephesians 1:5. Look back at verse 5. He, God, predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. See, God has already decided, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would bring us to himself as sons. And this was his pleasure and purpose, right? So God had already decided that this is what he's going to do. They're going to be my sons. I want to bring them to myself. That's what you talk about intelligence and deliberation, that he had purposed that. And when God purposes something, when he intends to do something and he wills to do it, guess what we just read in Isaiah, it's going to be done. Does that make sense? It's going to be done. The expositor's commentary says this. Here, how about in this verse 11 of Ephesians, therefore, the will of God is set forth as acting not arbitrarily, meaning not without rhyme or reason, haphazardly or illogical. It doesn't act like that. But intelligently and by deliberation, not without reason, but for reasons hidden, it may be from us, yet proper to the highest mind and most perfect moral nature. Yeah, I'm going to read that again. God knows what he's doing. His intention is hidden from us. We don't understand it, but we got to trust that he is who he says he is. Do y'all understand that? We got to get past ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about, we still got to get past ourselves, too, even though we're in the midst of terrible situation. We still got to get past ourselves. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to instruct you, that eventually you gotta trust God. Yeah. I'm not saying forget about the situation. I'm saying, nope, still deal with your situation, but deal with it trusting God. Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm going to read the Spada Torres commentary again. It says, here, therefore, the will of God is set forth as acting not arbitrarily, meaning without rhyme or reason, haphazardly or illogically. God just doesn't act. There's always purpose. There's always intent. There's always intelligence. There's always deliberation. So it's not without not arbitrarily, but intelligently and by deliberation, not without reason, but for reasons hidden it may be from us, yet proper to the highest mind and most perfect moral nature. That's God, the highest mind and most perfect moral nature. So no matter how crazy something may look, it's coming or being allowed by a God who is a perfect being. And he's not lost control.
No.
Although it may feel that way to us. Right. We get the 230 call. We're blindsided. We're knocked sideways. We are spinning from the news. But guess who's not spinning? Guess who's solid? Amen, Mr. Chris. Guess who's there? Right there with a hand to help. I got you. I know you're spinning. I know what's coming before the foundation of the world. I know what's coming.
Yes.
I know before you were ever created that at 2:30 on such and such a time and such and such a year, you're going to get that call. I already knew it because I've already provided your way out. I did that in eternity past.
Yes,
oh, come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're my charismatic saints over here.
Thank
hallelujah.
You. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the charismatic church, they just start clapping. Praise him. Yeah, the sister with the hat on would have stood up with that fan.
Yes.
It's been over.
Oh,
yes. He's already provided the way out. Already.
indeed saw it, provided the way.
I remember Miss April was crying over her dad, you know. And I remember we had just talked about Job not too far before that. Mm-hmm. And so she let her tears flow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ain't no automaton. Ain't no robots up in here.
Amen.
We're human. Yes. With tear ducts. Who gave you that, I wonder? God did. That means you can cry.
Amen.
But remember, he got you.
Yes.
There's a God. There's an intelligent, deliberate God behind every single thing.
Yes.
So when it says, according to the end of verse 11, according to the counsel of his will, I want you to look at that. Verse 11, Ephesians 1:11. It didn't, notice it didn't say according to who works all things according to his will. Did you see that? It did not say that. I want you to catch that. That's nice and slow here. It didn't say according to his will. It says according to the counsel of his will. A counsel, again, is boule, means there's intelligence and deliberation. It's thought out. That's for us to understand. That's how God operates. He doesn't do things haphazardly without rhyme or reason. He doesn't do things or even allow things capriciously. Everything, there's intelligence and deliberation and design behind it. There's purpose and intent behind it. Not a capricious will. He's not us. We'll do things in a heartbeat like, man, what did I just do? Why am I over here? Well, who is this girl? Why am I with her? Who is you? Why am I with you? Some even worse. Who am I? Why am I with me? That's not God. Man, I'll tell you, man. Y'all laughing, but boy, we apart from Christ Jesus, we crazy. We do some crazy stuff. Am I right, Miss Sarah? We do crazy stuff. You can't figure it out yourself. You don't know who you are, why you're doing things. You're just out there doing stuff. Haphazard, without rhyme or reason. And illogical. That's not God. That's why they put the word counsel of his will. Counsel. There's intentionality. There's deliberation. There's purpose. There's design. There's reasons. These are divine, eternal, perfect intelligence, perfect deliberation, perfect rhyme, perfect reason, perfect purpose. From the highest mind and most perfect moral nature.
Yes.
Nothing is immoral from God.
Amen.
Then one commentator finishes up the commentary on that verse. Not arbitrary caprice, whim, or impulse, but all wise counsel joined with sovereign will. All wise counsel joined with sovereign will. So whenever a decision is made, it's intelligently thought out. Hey, you got intelligence. Where do you think that came from? A God of intelligence. There's deliberation in you, and I come from a God of deliberation. There's purpose and intent. His is perfect, ours not. That's why we need to line our lives up with his, so that our intent and our purpose can line up with his. But it came from him. The fact that we have personality, that we are persons, come from God who can give a personality. Intelligence and design as well. Look at James chapter 4. I'm getting ready to close. James chapter 4, verse 15. James chapter 4, verse 15. You know this verse. James chapter 4. verse 15. You got it? Let me know, Judy. You got it? All right. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. What is that telling us to do? That we are to acknowledge the sovereign will of God. The verse before says, no, don't just say you're going to go to the market and buy and get gain and say, in other words, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here. You're making all these plans. Verse, the next verse warns, no, instead say, if the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. We are to always acknowledge the sovereign will of God. We are to live our lives in light of the sovereign will of God, meaning his will trumps ours.
Amen.
That's why that lie that has been told for centuries is the sovereign will of God ends where the will of man begins. So that means that the sovereign will of God only goes so far. But if you let it go and impede over to man's free will, then I don't like you telling me that I don't have absolute free will. Well, you don't. You certainly don't. You have free will up to a point. But only God has absolute free will. Because if the sovereign will of God ends where man's free will begins, then ultimately then who's sovereign?
Me.
Yeah, we are. And that's the case. You got me and everybody else as God. That's scary. But that's nowhere supported in Scripture. Even the devil has to answer to God. Amen. Devil, you can do this to Job, but you can't do that. Devil, you can do this, but you can't do that. Completely under God's control. And so we must acknowledge the sovereign will of God every single time we make plans.
Amen.
Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. And this is the last verse that we're going to go over concerning the sovereignty of God. Even though we went over several verses, that is no way a comprehensive comprehensive list of scripture, thank you, that covers the sovereignty of God. By no way. You can teach on the sovereignty of God till Jesus come back. His sovereignty starts really right in verse 1 of the Bible. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's sovereignty of God. You have to have the power and the sovereign authority to even do something like that. So we probably covered about 15 of them or something like that. That's enough to meditate on for a lifetime.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You almost need to raise your hand when you're reading this verse. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. For you created all things. And because of your will, they existed and were created. Whose will? God's will.
Amen.
You created all things. God allows man to work with him when God gives a man and discover something or to invent something. God is creating it. He's just working through that person. You know, black people have been out of shape because, you know, white folks tend to get the credit for inventing this and that and the other, and black folk don't get much credit. At the Christian biblical worldview is God created all of it.
Amen.
We ain't fighting about who he used.
Amen.
You gonna fight over the saxophone or the trumpet? I don't care. None of them ain't worth two dead flies if the musician ain't blowing through them.
Amen.
Hello? Is this thing on? You will fight over the flute, the oboe, the trumpet, or the sax.
You can fight over it all day. If you don't know how to play them, then what good are they? God is a musician that blows the music through all of that. Whether you use a black man, a white woman, a blue child, it makes no difference. God, we ought to acknowledge God as the sovereign ruler of all. He created all things. And because of your will, Father God, they existed and were created because of your will. If God doesn't give any man this creation or that creation, it doesn't exist. If God doesn't say it. Does that make sense?
Yes,
God is in control. And we're going to close with the definition again of sovereignty. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll move in. If you were to take sovereignty and let that be a Roman numeral, S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N, sovereign or sovereignty, then you're going to go with A. Then we're going to go with a providence next week. So that's, we're still on the sovereignty. We're going to go with the providence of God next week. And that'll be something we need to lock in on. Let's close with the definition again. Sovereignty, dunastes, D-U-N-A-S-T-E-S. So that's D-U-N-A-S-T-E-S. And an accent is on the second, dunastes. Comes from the word dunamis, which means to be able, to have ability, to have power. Is God not able?
Yes.
Does he not have the ability?
Yes.
Does he not have the power? He's all powerful. God is the one who reigns, right?
Amen.
He is the sole controller. He alone is independent, meaning self-sufficient, self-contained, self-reliant, self-supporting. Nobody supports God. God relies on nobody but himself. Secondly, he's autonomous. First, independent. Then he's autonomous. Okay? Not subject to the rule or control of another. Subject to its own laws only. You can also lick the notes, dude, if you need that later. Third, he possesses unilateral authority. Unilateral authority. Unilateral, meaning to perform an action or make a decision without the agreement of another. Yeah, who was he going to turn to? Nobody there. His actions is one-sided. He most certainly is and only can be. Nobody else is there. When he decided this, it was only God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There was nobody, nothing else. He's autonomous, he's independent, and he makes possesses unilateral authority. It means to have complete dominion, rule, power, and authority. When we say God is sovereign, we're saying that he is subject to none, influenced by no one. Hey God, why don't you not do that, and why don't you do this over here? He's influenced by no one. Thank God. He is the independent, self-governing, self-determining ruler that has all authority and all power in his hands. God being sovereign means that God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. That's my mother's favorite there. He does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. There is no one that can thwart his purpose. No one can stop his hand. And he is always working all things together for his good.
Amen.
That's the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
Lord willing, next week we'll go over the providence of God. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the